Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the podcast where we follow the highs and lows of the FPL teams of some of the country's funniest people.
This week we'll be joined by comedian and descendant of actual royalty, Josh Widdicombe. But first, John, let's talk about Game Week 12. As anyone who follows us on social media will know, you now lead me 10 weeks to 2. Only yes. 2 weeks out of the last 12 have I won. You won again this week. What's the secret of your success?
If this scorecard were a driving position, this is the first week we would pass our test. Yeah?
You what? Like that?
10 to 2.
Oh, nice.
That's how you're supposed to grasp the wheel.
That's right. Left hand at 10, right hand at 2. Not the other way around. You really fail if you do it that
Never
way.
Never cross your arms. So what's interesting this week is I had a bad week and I didn't enjoy it. It was one of those weekends where after a certain point, I just stopped opening the app. Some weeks you think, oh yeah, I can't wait for this next game. And then if that person does well, and whoa, just have a little check. By like mid-afternoon on the Saturday, I was like, just let's end this. It just got to the point where I thought, why don't we all just have Cancelo, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Mo Salah, and then any one of Conor Gallagher or a few others, and we'll all just score the same. Pick the same. I've been drinking since. I don't know if that comes across. I'll tell you what I have had that may have scorched my mouth. I've had 3 curries in 6 days this week.
Wow. Talk me through them all.
All from the same place. Become addicted to one particular curry house that just does exceptional tasty curries. So I had 2 takeaways. I had a takeaway when Lucy was out. She got in, smelt it, got all jealous. So we had another one the next night. And then a few nights after, I took a colleague to eat in. And we had a few jars and I had another curry.
That sounds suspect. What do you mean a colleague? You don't have colleagues?
Well, our friends. Felt weird to say friend.
So what, like a new friend from Sheffield that you haven't told me about?
A very old friend, someone I've known since I was 11 years old.
Your dad?
Very nice. Very Jeremy Kyle. Well done. No, I went with my friend, and at the end
why are you being so shifty about who this mate is?
Well, I don't want to... He doesn't listen to the podcast. It feels like an intrusion on his privacy. His name's Alan.
Yeah, I know Alan.
Yeah, you know Alan.
Why don't you just say my mate Alan then?
Because it just sounds laddie, doesn't it? I did my laddie stuff last week about like driving a transit van and all that stuff. This
doesn't
week,
sound laddie.
I'm embracing my other side where I talk about lentil and vegetable curries. What I'm trying to do is build a relationship where I can come in, open my little coat pocket, and inside I've got a little bag of vegan chicken pieces, and I say, listen, We'll turn a blind eye to the food safety guys.
Oh,
you
God.
Stick that in my curry, and if I get the I won't say anything. But that's what I want. That's the dream.
That's really good. 3 in 6 days. I think my record was 3 in a day.
No.
Yeah. When I worked at Stoke-on-Trent, I had one for breakfast, like leftovers. Then I had one at the work canteen and then ordered one when I got home. When you think of it like that.
Canteen one is a cheeky one, isn't it? Because that's actually a sort of palate cleanser because British canteen cuisine curry is rubbish.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate. It was pretty damn good.
You still remember it?
Yeah, it was Gialfrese. Remember it very clearly because rather like when I was at school, I had a relationship with the people in this canteen that it sounds like you want with your local curry house.
Mm.
Within a couple of weeks, they were giving me extra scoops. They knew I was a hungry boy and they would, they'd feed me up and I was happy to be expanded by these people. You know, the work was expanding my mind. The lunch was expanding my belly.
By the third curry, you sort of have to keep upping the ante. I went for the hottest one, which is their sort of vindaloo equivalent. And the next
day,
the combination of alcohol and what that does to your need to go to the toilet with the chili heat, when the chili is literally blended into the sauce and you can't hide, with a Gialfrese, you can pick them out. When they're blitzed into the sauce and it's that glowing red, like passing knives. It was just, it was awful. To the point where you've become one of those old, you know, when you get a mate who gets to a certain age who says, yeah, I just can't enjoy drinking anymore because like the next day's a write-off and I just, it's not worth it. I'm not there yet. I happily write off a day. But I must admit, that was the curry that made me think, I'm not doing this again.
Passing knives sounds like the sort of action you'd get on Britain's Got Talent. What a heck of a surprise that would be for the audience. Oh, he's a knife passer, this next one.
Yeah.
I'm John Richardson and I'm passing knives.
Ironically, I would have got a red X for that. And I had one to begin with. I took a minus four this week, Matthew. And that was instantly, I brought in San Maximan. He scored 10. So that justifies my minus four straight away.
He got 10 points.
Well, yeah, sure.
Come on.
Let's get the terminology right, even if you can't play the actual game. I scored 59. The average was 57. I'm calling that a bad week. Harry Kane did what I wanted him to do as a Leeds fan and was awful, but Spurs still beat Leeds, which we don't need to go into. Mo Salah as captain, again, no brainer. I take no pride in it. Reece James, take no pride in that. We all know he's good. Literally, I had two players not start, Gabriel Jesus and Rafinha. No warning, Rafinha wasn't going to play. There was no one on the bench. When you lose a player who doesn't play and the player that comes in scores zero, so Rafinha didn't play. I thought, oh, at least he'll come off and I'll get someone off the bench. Ben White comes on for a zero. So literally, they've wasted their time even doing that change for me. But, you know, it's just an appalling week. And I've had it with Kai Havertz. I've had it with Benrahma. So I'll be taking, and I'll tell you this now, I don't mind showing my hand early, double game week coming up next week. I'm going to take a minus four or a minus eight anyway, because Benrahma cannot survive in this team. I don't think he scored more than 2 points for what feels like 6 years now.
I just think West Ham are very good, so I think I'm going to hold on to him. I have made a change at the back going into GW13.
Of course, you've already done it.
Got rid of Andy. Oh, God, yeah. Why do I keep doing that? You know what? I've actually got in my phone, in my calendar, a weekly reminder that's set up for every Friday at 11 a.m. It says, reminder, check FPL team, you f***ing idiot. Literally, I'll send you a screen.
Your phone on silent or something.
What it needs to be is not checked, but I need reminders on other days to go, don't sign players until Friday. But I got rid of Andy Robertson.
He's gone.
Too expensive a bauble, and I brought in Cancelo from Manchester City.
Oh, that's what I want to do, and now there's no point because we'll just have the same team.
Well,
see, this is what's frustrating this season. And I texted our other league friend, Russell Howard, this week, because he's gone ahead of me this week and he really enjoyed it. And he's been texting me all weekend like, oh, the pigs are going to have you.
What does he mean by that? Oh, the flying
piglets. His team
are
called the Flying Piglets.
Sounds like Bricktop Tony in Snatch. I was going to feature to him. They can go to 8 pounds of flesh like butter. Hence the phrase, as greedy as a pig.
Talk to me about your team. Now you've brought Cancelo and it annoys me, because I texted Russell and I said, I want to bring in Cancelo, but it's pointless because then we're all going to end up with the same team. And he said the same thing.
I call him Cancelo.
Yeah, you are wrong, yeah. Oh, but, you know, you've made clear your commitment to not pronounce foreign words properly for fear of, you know, losing the vote, that, you know, or whatever it is that makes you refuse to say chorizo. It's chorizo, mate, isn't it? It's chorizo and a Pete Roney. Pete Roney pizza. I'll have a pizza, mate, yeah?
I did think it was pizza until embarrassingly late in my life, but that's for another day. So I brought in Cancelo for Robertson. And, you know, my team didn't do too bad. It was below average, though. It was a high score.
Yeah, they did. I'm looking at it now.
It's good 45.
Take out Reece James and Mo Salah.
Yeah,
talk to me about the points.
Gets me 16. Vardy, 2. Antonio, 2. Ronaldo, 5. Traore. Signed him early. Going to have to look at offloading him. The advantage, I think, is obviously, because I did a lot to bring in very expensive players, that does give me a bit of wiggle room.
To have
some expensive signings. But yeah, not a great week. 45 points. The average was 57. The highest, 135. It was embarrassing, and I felt very bad about
135
it.
Is outrageous, isn't it?
Who
and that's the
hell?
Team that literally, I mean, fair play up front, Dennis. That's a good shout.
No, because I had Dennis. I had him. Can you imagine how I feel?
I don't imagine you feel as bad as Russell Howard, who had him on the bench.
Oh,
yeah, maybe. Left 14 points sitting on the bench. But the back four this week of the league leader, Cancelo, James, Rudiger, Alexander-Arnold, that's becoming the new Salah. Well, of course you've got those four at the back. And the combined points there, absolutely insane. That's like 60 points just from your back four.
I mean, if you're captain James, you know what I mean? You're just in a different world, aren't you? I really do want to bring in Trent Alexander-Arnold. So I might do myself that as a Christmas present.
Take a minus?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if it came to it, yeah. Potentially.
Okay. Where are we at with the curse?
The curse.
Because people listening, I still had that little twinge of, you know, do it. Because I haven't got him and I want him to go bad. And if you bring him in, it'll go bad. But do you feel accursed at the moment? Or do you think you've managed to get rid of it?
I think the problem was Kane was so crucial to the curse that it felt like just having him, in a way, even though my form is still terrible, I can't honestly say that I feel like it's a curse. But obviously, I don't want to not let people think that I'm magic somehow.
Yeah, just to go into the form. So you are still 25th in the league.
God.
Still behind Rob Beckett, who, as we know, has only looked at his team once, and that was the week we had him on the podcast. So you are losing ground to an idling car. So, you know, really, really bad. 509 points. You are now 278 points behind the leader, Ian Sterling.
Yeah, I'm a bit off the pace. Yeah. And obviously, because I lost this game week, I've had to do a forfeit.
Yes, please.
That forfeit was to write a 60-second children's story that will be better than anything that Jamie and Rebecca Vardy will write. So, here we go. You ready?
Do you want any music or sound effects, or is it just as is?
I think I'll just do it in delivery.
Yeah,
I'll just let myself tell this thing.
Right, that's what the kids like, you know. Use your personality.
Strip it back, man. It's like MTV Unplugged. This is just like, here's my tunes, you know what I mean? Here's
my ideas. And are you offering this out to the Beeb for Book at Bedtime or anyone who wants it?
Anyone, yeah. Let's not restrict it just to our public service.
Has it got a title?
Genuinely, the document just says Matt's Children's Story.
Wow, okay, fine. So,
you know what, I didn't put that as my... But,
one of a series, really.
Potentially.
Suggests that even in the title, you're not quite willing to take ownership of it. Who did that? Ah, just some guy called Matt, I know, whose files are all on my laptop.
I don't know why I've done that. Anyway, here we go. Stepanov pulled up the collar of his coat. The Moscow cold stabbed his neck like 1,000 icy sickles. Damn you, Lenin, he cursed under his breath as he made his way to processing. The thin cabbage soup he'd had for breakfast was still bitter on his tongue, but not as bitter as the taste of failure. Consolidate the revolution indeed, he scoffed to himself. Stepanov knew he had to stay alive, and the best way to stay alive was to go unnoticed. But he wouldn't be able to do that today, because today he was planning to do his big morning shit at work, and it was bound to clog up trap one. Hang on. Sorry, I think this is another novel I was writing. let me just find...
What is that?
What is that? What? That's just another book I'm writing. That was just an idea I had for a kind of...
Okay, fine. So that's presumably some sort of Cold War thriller about a guy who does big shit.
Yeah.
Great.
Here we go. So here's the kids one. Sorry, I found it now. Here we go. Every village has one, you know. If your village doesn't have one, it just means you haven't discovered it yet. But at some point, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after, you will encounter this strange little being. It's called a Rico. Sort of human, sort of rodent. No one really knows what it is. Even when it's had a wash, it always looks like it smells of a damp loft. Its funny little voice and weird face are attractive to some people who find it oddly cute. It thinks it's the cleverest and funniest guy in town. But if that's the case, why doesn't he have any friends? Because he drove them all away after playing FPL like a smug prick.
That it?
Yeah, that's it. That's okay. The Rico.
it's more of a sort of back of book blurb than an actual. I'm missing a narrative. Where does the Rico go? Does it sort of by the end? Do you end up liking the Rico?
Because
it gets stomped on.
Yeah. That's basically it. Gets stomped on, and no one likes it.
Well, all you've really done is use the children's novel form to insult me.
Yeah. Well, all you've done is use FPL to insult me. So now
You've done that yourself, mate.
I have a strategy in these forfeits to then use them where I can to just punch back a bit.
I preferred your sort of Russian thriller about the guy who has a big
Yeah, Stepanov.
Stepanov, yeah. What's his full name? The bus has stopped, so I'm stepping off.
No, that would be jingoistic.
I actually
Googled Russian surnames, that I didn't just invent one.
Right, okay. So you've done research for that other novel.
Yeah, man. I'm like Jeffrey Archer. Go there and I figure it out. I look at the red square. I figure out how many paces it is. You know.
What other ways are you like Jeffrey Archer?
And my writing is terrible.
In terms of our other guests, because we had a quiet week, we had two guests vying against us. Maisie Adam with a chance to win a Brie Baker in which to put her Leeds United Wheel of Brie. She did not beat me this week. So sadly, Maisie Adam will not be receiving the Brie Baker. She captained, and I love this, what I will say for her, she had the bravery to captain away from Mo Salah. And I will back anyone who does that this year. I think that's a really brave move. It says, I'm trying to make ground on the people around me. And she scored 20 points for Saint-Maximin ahead of the 16 she would have got for captain Mo Salah. So that, for me, that's an exquisite play. And she should be rewarded for that.
She gets the points that she deserves. We all do. I mean, that's the thing about FPL.
And she beat you.
Yes.
She
Many
beat
people
you.
Do, week in, week out. And I have to live with that.
Bad news for her, I'm sure. But good news for fans of Chris McCausland, who's had a big week. He's been on Live at the Apollo. And we can confirm now has won the big box of Pringles. So congratulations to him. Only just, though, 63 points. So not a vintage week for him. A lot of the work being done by Trent Alexander-Arnold, 15 points. So, but for that, he wouldn't have won this week.
Well, Chris has sent us a voice note reflecting on his week, and here it is.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised I've beaten both of yous, if I'm totally honest. When I looked at the end of Saturday, all my players had played. I had no one playing on the Sunday, and John was about 20 points behind me or something, with loads of players left playing on the Sunday. So I thought John was going to overtake me. But I have scraped past him with just 4 points. I think I had 63, John, you had 59. But 4 points is 4 points in the world of big, massive three boxes of Pringles. So I will take the win. I will celebrate the win. I will celebrate the win with Pringle crumbs all down my jumper. Matt, I mean, I beat you, but that was always on the cards, wasn't it? Beating you, Matt, is at fantasy football is like beating me at Spot the Difference. It's like taking candy from a baby. In fact, I think that's what they should change the saying to, isn't it? Instead of that, we should now say it's like taking Pringles from Matt. Look forward to me gift, lads. Keep up the good work, John. Try harder, Matt. Catch you soon. Cheers.
Now, there are obviously some big news stories this week. The main one being the departure of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer from Manchester United. John, do you feel sorry for him? Well,
his pronunciation's all over the shop this week.
What are you talking about? You can start.
Ole, isn't it? Ollie's at the wheel.
Well, Ollie, if you want to say it like that. Hang on. What's wrong with how did I say it?
Ole!
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ole. I mean, you do mash it up in a particularly Nottingham way. Ole. More my Ole, or it's gone down there and he's had an awesome piece of chips. It's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, isn't it?
Not short for Oliver, is it? You're not a posh kid. Ollie, you can't manage Manchester United anymore. No, Ollie, someone else's turn.
Ollie, I hope that's how they told him.
Ollie. It's
a weird thing of the modern game, isn't it, that when you hear they're going to have a board meeting to discuss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, what they're basically saying is, we're going to sack Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That board meeting's not going to end with, we've had a chat, and we're going to give him a bit longer.
There is one thing I did hear about Solskjaer that it didn't quite put me off him, but I found it slightly annoying that on a tactics board in his office, he had a number of basically platitudes, and it said, game management, colon, simple and effective. Do the simple things well and with pride. Go and do your magic, play for the team. But those bullet points remind me more of the sorts of motivational rubbish they have on the walls of telesales. I mean, I don't know if you've worked in telesales ever, John.
No, I've never had the pleasure. You know, these days will come, I'm sure.
Hiya! How are your windows?
Yeah, they're fine, thanks, mate. Bye.
No!
I did it for a bit. Summer jobs when I was 16, 17, for Anglian Home Improvements. And,
windows?
Oh my God. Yeah, windows, but also soffits and fascias. I still don't know what they are. There was another one as well. I'd worked for Cold Seal or Shore Seal. In Nottingham, it was just full of these places, right?
Ron Seal?
Wasn't Ron Seal, no. It was like Cold Seal or something like that. There was Cold Seal and Heat Seal. They were rivals. I really didn't understand what the difference was. But anyway, we had this manager called Norman, and he'd written on these luminous cards all around the office, like, sweet as a nut, Nottingham, and stuff like that, to like, try and keep you motivated. He then tried to do me out of my wages, and I threatened legal action. So, you know, the people who put motivational, I was going to say lyrics, slogans on the wall, aren't always the motivators they think they are. Sometimes those are the people trying to do you out of a few quid.
I mean, this thing of motivational things on the wall, I can't really criticise during the dark years in first the bedsit of Bristol and then Swindon. I did handwrite onto various pieces of different coloured card segments I liked from Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist and The Manual of the Warrior of Light, and I stuck them on my kitchen worktops to sort of motivate myself and make myself feel a bit less depressed in the dark times.
I remember seeing them, and I thought it was really cool. I mean, obviously the difference is you were writing them for yourself, so you knew what you wanted to motivate. It's not just sweet as a nut. Imagine you'd written that around your
sweet
bedroom.
Sweet as a nut is particularly bad.
Imagine you brought anyone back and they're like, what's that? You're like, oh, I've just got motivational quotes all around my house. That's as sweet as a nut, Nottingham. You've never even been there. And, John, for those of us that haven't read The Warrior of Light,
yeah,
is it what age group is it aimed at?
Oh, depressed adults. It's not a kid's book. It's, you know, it's firmly, you know, Coelho knows his audience.
I wonder if for a forfeit this week, it should have something to do with, like, samurai or something like that. Warriors.
Yeah, here's my suggestion. So we could do something about samurai becoming stronger, or a calendar has been released this week, which is 12 shots of Jack Grealish's calves. And I wonder whether we take 12 pictures. We replicate the cover stance, if you will. And
okay, the calves on his legs. He hasn't got a farm.
No, but that's a lovely twist. Shot 12 on our calendar. But I think whoever loses this week has to take 12 pictures trying to replicate the Jack Grealish calendar.
The what?
And Jack Grealish.
Grealish now.
Jack Grealish?
You take the mick out of me for chorizo. It's Grealish. Everyone knows it.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of his legs. It's all I can do to speak. They're wonderful calves. They're very beautiful.
His legs are out of this world. He's got hourglass legs.
There's a shot for me that needs to be Christmas where he's sort of leaping in the air. And the strength of a calf is in, you know what to do to make your calves look good. You know, slightly raise the heel and lean forward. Show what you've got. He's in midair, so he can't possibly be tensing it because he's got no purchase on the ground. But it's like a toffee apple tucked into his sock. It's absolutely beautiful. And you can see the package as well. So, you know, we can either do something spiritual or the loser can take embarrassing pictures. And don't forget, do you know what?
What?
Do you know what? Well, it's a double game week, isn't it? There's games midweek and at the end of the week.
Ooh. So
it could be a double forfeit week. What are you suggesting then, Ree, the forfeit to do with spirituality?
You have to buy a samurai sword and get arrested within an hour.
I can get arrested without a samurai sword, mate. The old road rage has reared its ugly head again this week. I composed a tweet. This is how I manifest my anger now. Composed a tweet and just stopped myself short. But I was going to tweet. Just got back from dropping my daughter at school. And congratulations to everyone celebrating this year's National Drive Like a Cunt Day. Didn't realise it had come around so soon. Guess we'll have to wait 3 days till the next one.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but I thought, don't send that.
Lovely just tickle on the end. The suggestion that it's a regular thing.
Yeah, cheeky. I mean, I spent a lot of time. I spent 2 hours tailgating someone, composing it. So,
God, you're like, what's it?
Bumper cleave. Well, we tend to be the tailgatees, don't we? You and I have both had experiences which we've spoken about in the past on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely. My goodness.
Your pronunciation's gone to hell, man.
Absolutely not condoning tailgating. It's very dangerous. It makes me very angry.
Got to be illegal, isn't it? If not, it should be.
Do you know what I do when someone tailgates me? My driving instructor taught me this, Jamie.
Yeah,
if you simply tap the brake, not actually applying it, the light will come on. It's not a race.
Can feel like one though, can't it? That's the problem.
Yeah, well, you just think, where are these people rushing to? When I lived in Swindon, you get all these cars tailgating me around the ring road. I think, where are you going? We're on the ring road north of Swindon. Do you know what I mean? It's not Succession. You're not on your way to break a multi-million pound deal, are you? Here's another possible forfeit.
Yeah.
Inspired by, as we were discussing, the managerial merry-go-round this week. That's a term that comes up around Christmas, doesn't it, every time. The old Premier League managerial merry-go-round kicked off again this week.
Hold that thought. When was the last time you actually went on a merry-go-round?
Oh, very recently. Like,
really? Was it good?
No, it's awful. They're too slow and nauseating. Where are you on big rides? I went on the Pepsi Max big one this year for the sitcom. Absolutely loved it.
I think I'd bottle it,
Would you?
Yeah, I think since I went to Thorpe Park and bottled it on one of those rides, it's kind of in my head now.
Did you bottle it? You never bottled it. You got off.
I got off. What was the one called up there with Paul McCaffrey and Carl Donnelly?
And Tom Lovelove. I'm not doing this, lads. It's all getting a bit weird.
It's this one where they fight. So I'd just been on Saw, the ride, and it was a poor. Remember, I had that DVD of it?
Yes!
Oh, man. It was awful.
You used to watch it all the time.
I know. It was so funny. I looked like a man being, waterboarded or something. It was like torture. Let me find out.
Can I see that again? Where is it? I want it.
I've got it somewhere,
I want it back in my life.
I've got it somewhere. Let me just see what rides I've got at Thorpe Park. So I've been on that, and I was shaken bad. Really, because they freak you out. Stealth. That was it. This is this one where they fire you at an upright. And I was still discombobulated from Saw. I went on a thing called Logger's Leap just to calm down. And then we went on this stealth thing. I was sat there, and as the big thing that comes down over your head to hold you in,
yeah,
was coming down. I sort of thought big about gym. It for a second. Yeah, I just went, I want to get off. I'd like to get off. Excuse me. And there's a queue of kids all there. I go, excuse me, who works here? Who works here? I need to get off, please. And McCaffrey's going, he's joking. I go, I'm not joking. I'm not. You have to let me off. You have to let me off. Please, please, please. Don't start the ride. Please don't start the ride. They're like, all right. We'll let you off. I was like, well, then please do. Please. Okay, we're going to let you off.
You get very posh when you're frightened.
Do it now. One would rather appreciate it. Oh, man.
What would you do if you ever got mugged? Look, you can have it, but there's nothing in there.
I have been mugged many times in there. Yeah. I don't think I ever went posh. But then what else did we got? Oh, we went on one called the Detonator. The ones that are like the Big Ben rides that you get. It's just that straight drop. And it feels like you're coming out of the damn thing. And you know what really annoys me? Now, listen up, park resort providers of any scale or stature. if you're going to do a countdown, don't muck about with it. The moment it goes 3, 2, 1, the next beat should be the drop. Don't then let people dangle there.
Yeah, but that's the bit, isn't it?
But that's sick.
There's a bit on the big one where just as the thing is about to take off, a noise just goes like that behind you. And I said to the guy, horrible. What is that? Is that like a piston? He went, nah, it's just a noise to freak people out. That's it.
That's horrible, isn't it?
It's already enough, isn't it, to be dangled over Blackpool, hurtling towards Blackpool at 200 miles an hour or whatever it is. I was going to say then that the forfeit after Dwight York applied for the Villa job and they didn't even reply should be to apply for a job that you don't want. But it's got to be a sort of roller coaster based forfeit. I if you haven't got time to have a pint with a doc, I'm guessing you haven't got time to go on a roller coaster.
No.
If you lose this week, will you upload the video of you on that roller coaster?
The thing is, I need to find... do you know what? I know it's in a box somewhere. I can't guarantee I'm going to be able to find it this week. If I ever find it, I will immediately stick it online. Don't worry.
So if you have a suggestion for a roller coaster-based forfeit, or just a particularly good one, it doesn't have to be, we'll keep the Jack Grealish calendar one for now. We will be doing two podcasts next week, so there will be a podcast for each set of fixtures. So there will be one at the start of next week after the weekend's fixtures, and then one after the midweek fixtures as well. But now it's time to welcome our guest for this week, our guest manager and manager of the Low Fat Pizza 11. Please welcome Josh Widdicombe. So, Josh, thank you for joining us. You are
thank you for having me.
Currently fifth in the league
with
Low Fat Pizza 11. Why are they called the Low Fat Pizza 11?
It's a reference to I don't know if you're aware of this video, but I'd say it's the greatest video in the history of football, in which the Aston Villa squad from about 1995
yes.
talk about the food that they eat.
Yes.
Have you seen this, John?
No. This is news to me.
It's
brilliant. Incredible. And they all eat pasta because at the time, pasta was considered the height of footballing, kind of health. But Mark Bosnich claims he eats low-fat pizza at the weekend.
He was having a few of them.
I'm quickly Kevin, my 90s football podcast. We're obsessed with the idea of what low fat. I mean, I just don't even know what low fat pizza is.
Sliced tomato.
Of all the guys as well, Bosnich. He was so heavy.
Yeah.
He's just kidding himself, isn't he? He's going, oh no, it's low fat.
His consumption of pizza was the least of the problems his body was dealing with.
It really shows how the technology of football has changed. That in the past, you could clearly be heavy, but you knew you wouldn't be weighed. But what might incriminate you is an interview you did. Whereas nowadays, you can sort of go and do what you like, but you will be weighed when you get back in a way that, I mean, Leeds players can't put on a gram. Because it's known about, you know, they're just...
I think Bosnich was putting on a gram at weekends.
Very nice.
There was a very good article. I mean, God, what a boring thing to say, but there's a very good article by Jonathan Liu in The Guardian today about the war zone that is ketchup in the modern game.
Yes!
Yes, will they be allowed ketchup?
Now it's become such a kind of totemic symbol of a change in management.
Wasn't there a thing about Man City wanting blue ketchup?
Yes, so Man City wanted blue ketchup in their exec suites, maybe?
Ugh.
I don't know. I don't think
I
it was the players. It wasn't the players' loyalty that cut me and I bleed blue ketchup.
How do you even make ketchup blue?
Well, food colouring, presumably.
But you would have to put so much because it's inherently red.
Yeah.
Do you know how you make ketchup purple. Blue? You tell it that mayonnaise sales have gone through the roof. Am I right?
Lovely stuff. Do you know, we've sworn so much before you come on that this podcast isn't eligible for the under-11s, but that's such a sweet joke. It's worth clipping up and releasing. Fordy had to write a children's story this week as part of his forfeit, and it was crap. And that was a better bit of content for our younger listeners.
I'm not a children's author, am I?
That hasn't stopped a lot of people, Fordy.
Yeah. Well, the forfeit came off the back of the news that Rebecca and Jamie Vardy are writing a children's story due to come out next year. What do you make of that? Will you be buying that in the Widdicombe household? Two kids there?
No, I won't be, no.
Do you want to hear the plucky story of a slug who gets into goes from a non-league team to a Premier League team, but he's a bit naughty every now and again, but no one's allowed to say it because he's sometimes good for England? I'm guessing that's what the story will be about.
Obviously, I'd say Jamie Vardy's the least interesting of the two authors there in terms of life story. Rebecca Vardy, if she was... let's not get into it because there's legal ramifications of pontificating about that case, I imagine.
I mean, you have a greater amount of podcast experience than I do. So if you say that's not worth getting into, then I will absolutely
back you up.
Well,
it's less podcast experience, more... it's more would last you, leg, I think.
Would you have them on the parenting podcast, the Vardys?
Yes, in a effing heartbeat.
Now we're getting to the heart of the shrubbery maze. He's not worried about legals at all. He just wants to keep in with the Vardys.
Do you remember Jamie Vardy's house from when they when Leicester won the league? There's footage that all the team watched the game at Jamie Vardy's house.
Oh, yes, that big party.
Yeah, and there's... A chandelier like I've never seen before or since. Like the size of the chandelier was incredible.
Oh, I don't, he doesn't look like a chandelier type of guy.
No, but that's the thing with footballers though, isn't it? They don't actually have any taste. So they just buy the things that, because they basically leave school at 11 and all they do is talk to other footballers and then they get loads of money. Their houses look like you've given an 11-year-old £50 million. And they just want, well, they've seen Home Alone, so they want the chandelier from the Plaza Hotel foyer. They'll have
fans of Only Fools and Horses.
A custom-built Diamante slush puppy dispenser or something like that. They just didn't actually understand. There's no art in there, is there?
The only footballer I remember being into art was David James was into art.
Yes.
And then that was considered such a kind of weakness that, do you remember Rio Ferdinand's World Cup wind-ups?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what, was that 2002 or 2006? Whichever one it was. Anyway, he murked David James. because by tricking him to go to an art gallery and look at loads of shit art and like kind of convince him that it was good, that kind of...
Did you ever see that terrible Liverpool documentary that was just a puff piece?
No, when Brendan Rodgers had the picture on his wall.
Yeah, and he would touch people's faces a lot. It was all a bit weird. But it was narrated by Clive Owen. But there was a bit in it where it was like, they'd really earnest commentary go, Steven Gerrard keeps his feet on the ground by leading a normal family life. And it then literally cuts to Gerrard walking down a cream corridor with portraits of himself on the walls and like three chandeliers. I don't know whether they were doing it to be deliberately funny, but it was the worst clip to follow that sentence they could have picked.
Have you ever seen Michael Owen's trophy room?
Oh my God.
It sounds like a horror film. It was just all severed heads.
It's a horror film in the... it's a room that's much more empty than people imagined in 1998. I'll tell you that for free. but he's got his Ballon d'Or that he astonishingly won.
Yeah.
On a revolving plinth. So it's constantly revolving.
We always make a rule of being nicer to our guests because obviously you take time to enter the league. But Matt and I have regular discussions about pronunciation of foreign players' names and foreign words. I've got to have a quick chat to you about the pronunciation of Ballon d'Or.
Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. Is it? What is that? Is that a hatred of the French? Or why do you refuse to concede to the apostrophe there as if it's four full stops?
I don't know. I think I was always a huge fan of Terence Trent D'Arby. I'm taking that through. So it's Ballon d'Or, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind. I liked it.
No, it is. It is.
What are you saying?
Let's not pick me up on it. And then when I go with the correct pronunciation, go, is it? Is it?
Me and Lucy have these arguments all the time where she'll use a phrase. This week she was talking to me about she'd had a reunion with some friends and she was like, do you know, I've just missed them so much. You know, they're just my best friends. You know, we're just like chalk and cheese. And I had to be like, ugh. If I pick her up on it, she gets angry. If I don't pick her up on it, she'll then use it again in a meeting and then get really annoyed at me. And she'll say, I said chalk and cheese in the meeting about two things I really like. And they all laughed at me. And I said, yeah, you did that the other week, but I didn't want to tell you. You just can't win.
I'll be interviewing for the Man United job and I'll say Ballon d'Or and it'll count me out.
I don't think so.
Very true.
Should we get into your squad?
Yeah.
I mean, fifth is very good. And I only say that because I'm fourth and I'm trying to flatter you. What sort of hours are you putting into your team?
So I can't put too much in because I don't want it to mean too much to me. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. You're guarding against becoming too involved. You don't want to get sucked in.
Yeah, I don't want to get sucked in, but I don't want to do badly. So I'm, and I also am trying to just do it on instinct rather than do it on overthinking. And then when I have made changes, they've always backfired. And so part of me is now thinking I should be a kind of Brian Clough figure who doesn't really actually do much except kind of give my players a slug of whiskey before they go out. Do you know what I mean? That kind of old style management. I think I'm fifth because I haven't been making changes, though. Because I speak to people like Ivo or Alex Brooker, they'll have talked themselves into... The reason I'm fifth is Salah has been my captain every week.
Yes.
And other people have tried to overthink that, like Pep Guardiola in the latter stages of the Champions League every year. Whereas... Yeah.
I find that infuriating. That there's 2 weeks I haven't captained Salah and it's cost me, I think, 40 points.
Exactly.
Which is just ridiculously unfair.
Yeah.
So if you haven't fiddled with your team much, so looking at the team, you've got some really sort of... Cancelo is a wonderful... Cancelo and Livramento. Have you had them from the beginning then?
Yes,
That's great team selection. That really is very good.
Who were the changes you made then?
I dropped Ollie Watkins, which was... Ollie Watkins was in the team purely because he used to go to my school.
Yes. Personal. It's personal.
Yeah. And he scored twice in two games since, I think. And I should have stuck with him because he went to my school. And that's so rare that someone's gone to your school. And I mean, I've never had it before.
You talked about loyalty a second ago and then dropped a guy you actually knew.
Just to be very clear, we're very different ages. Like, he's not 38.
Of course, yeah.
I wasn't held back 15 years.
Like in an American sitcom.
Yeah.
There's always the jock.
So I dropped Ollie Watkins. I regret that. This is why I try and not think too much about it. You know what
How
I mean?
Do you maintain that? Because I find that very interesting because I cannot. I am in and I'm all in and it's all or nothing. I either end the game with euphoric or absolutely crestfallen. And I can't imagine spending less time on it would change those emotions.
I can't deal with those emotions. Like, I can't get sucked in like that again. Also, it's a real big advantage that I work on Friday nights. I've always got that distraction later in the week that I'm not thinking about it.
Yes, of course. So you prepare the last leg, do you?
No, but you've got to turn up, John.
I think FPL is a bit like the stock market in that you have to hold your nerve over the medium to long term.
Yes.
And just think of it as like, this is like a kind of investment fund for 15, 20 years rather than, oh God, if the value of the market drops, I've got to get all my cash out.
Yeah.
And I just think, I haven't done that. I've panicked. And I am behind Rob Beckett, who literally just pressed lucky dip and really couldn't care less about what happens to his team.
Yeah. I really want to test whether the curse has been broken by giving Matt Ford £50 to invest in the stock market and finding out if by Christmas you're in prison or homeless and destitute.
Okay, well, all I would say is it would take longer to figure out whether I'd done well, wouldn't it? You'd have to come back to me in 15 years and see if I was in prison.
I don't know. I mean, the curse, as strong as it was, look at what you did to Harry Kane.
I've ended his Spurs career, basically. His Premier. I mean, I really feel sorry for him.
He'll be all right. He's not eating ketchup now, so he'll be fine.
I mean, I, you know, someone whose team lost to Spurs this weekend, this is not a conversation I should be joining in on, really. I think they're still a very good outfit and they've got a lot of places they can score from, apart from Harry Kane.
But this is the thing, is that I heard you kind of talking last week, John, about personality default that put yourself central.
Narcissistic
disorder, yeah.
So I went to see Plymouth at the weekend. I haven't seen them win in so long. And we hadn't lost since the opening day of the season. And then we lost this weekend, the first game I went to. I know it's not me, but you can't help but think it's me. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and people get in your head with that. The Bielsa season where we were going to go up, it was my dad's 70th birthday, and I deliberately held off. I said, look, we'll go to a game. My dad's why I'm a Leeds fan. So it was a very emotional thing. We hadn't been together for decades to a game. So I was like, I'm going to take you to a game. I'll get us, you know, posh seats. And I'm going to pick a game we're definitely going to win. So I picked Wigan at home, who were already down by that point, yeah. And we lost. And I genuinely didn't go back for weeks. I was like, yeah. that is a horrific result. And I can only assume it's because I'd planned a special.
Yeah, of course, of course. You were like those Arsenal players with the 50 not out shirts under their shirts.
You'd
already considering what was happening.
I had the happy 70th birthday dad's t-shirt and I was going to streak. when we scored our third goal. Compare the fear you have about getting too embroiled in FPL and what effect that will have on your life with the real life experience of going to see Plymouth for the first time in ages and it being their first loss.
Do you know what? I get over these things very quickly these days. I don't subscribe really to the Nick Hornby world of it ruining your weekend or anything. Even when we lost in the final of the Euros, I was over it in about an hour. Yeah, because...
Why do you hate our way of life?
We had a text conversation about it this week, me and Forty, literally. We WhatsApped literally this week saying, I still think about it regularly. And actually, the further it gets from it, the worse I feel about it. Because at the time, it had been such a euphoric tournament in such a horrific global year. Now I look back and I think, oh, we should have won that.
Yeah, and I would hate to watch the highlights, but I isolate myself from all of that. But I'm quite good at compartmentalizing sport these days.
I literally cried about it this week. Cried.
Did you cry?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Yeah.
Sober.
I'm quite good at going, I don't know, I used to be very bad at it. Like I remember when Plymouth went down at Burnley in 1998, I remember crying. Yeah. I cried at Euro 96. And like 2006, I was particularly gutted because I really thought we were going to, I thought I approached 2006 like you approached Leeds v Wigan, John, in the feeling that this is destiny. There's something has happened that I'm able to turn that kind of part of my life.
It's the emotional.
And I can go, was the moment when Luke Shaw scored, that's still totally magical to me, even though we lost, which I know
I'll
is
give
mad.
You that. I mean, that remains one of the best moments I've ever had in a stadium watching a game.
God, it was special. You know what the bit that makes me cry is? Harry Kane's interview after the Germany game. That's what gets me. At that point, I really, really thought we were going to do it. And I can't believe it was taken away from us, man.
But I don't really mind. In many ways, I kind of come to the conclusion that if we do it, then what have we got left? Do you know what I mean?
I know, but that's like, great. That'd be great to not have to worry all the time. Yeah,
The sweet sanctuary of death. That's all that remains. You can tick everything off your list and say, right, everything now is a bonus. What I want to know is, does it affect, because I think what you're talking about is ultimately a very healthy attitude. And I do think having kids is a big part of that.
Yeah,
and I have.
Yeah.
There's nothing better to get home to than a child that does not understand football. And you just think, if I ruin your afternoon because Leeds have lost, I am
exactly.
Prick.
Yeah.
And that definitely helps you at the tail end.
Yeah.
But you've got to retain some of that jeopardy of, if this goes badly, it's going to ruin my week,
totally.
Month,
yeah,
year.
Totally.
Because otherwise you don't have that joy going in of, oh.
No, exactly. It's how much do you want to ride? On which roller coaster do you want to ride? And I think in the last 5 years, I've chosen at Alton Towers to stick to CBeebies Land.
You can still have a good time.
No, I can still have a good time. I'm not on Oblivion. But, you know, I'm still having a fun day out.
Yeah, I mean, what's mad is you weren't here for our chat earlier, but you're calling back to all the things 4D and I have already discussed.
Oh, really?
And we discussed roller coasters earlier, and it makes me think that actually Matt Ford's FPL experience has been similar to his roller coaster experience. He signed up, he got involved, he was on the ride, and at the last minute, he just seems to have pulled out.
Well, no, if anything, I've become too involved in the ride, haven't I? This is the thing, I'm so emotionally invested in this thing. I'm constantly trying to make the changes that will change my luck, that will change my fortunes.
Yeah.
I'm too deep in.
Yeah. And you know what? And I think what is unhealthy about my approach, I didn't realise this to be such a kind of psychologically in-depth discussion, but I think one of the problems is, one of the ways I stop everything getting too serious is if it all goes wrong, I just isolate myself completely from it. So I would never watch Match of the Day if the results had gone against how I wanted them to. Like,
I agree.
People will go, did you see Ronaldo's goals in his debut again for Man U? And I'll go, no, absolutely not, because I don't want to be exposed to that. I'd prefer to pretend it's never happened.
like it's radiation.
No, I totally agree. Match of the day for me is an all or nothing. If any part of it is going to annoy me, I just can't be bothered anymore. And I used to have them on sort of Sky Planner, and I'd be able to watch them on like a Tuesday. And now by Monday, I just think I have to have moved on emotionally from this. Otherwise,
are there any people in the league that you particularly want to beat?
Obviously, Alex Brooker.
Yeah.
But that's not a problem. I'll beat him. He's not very good at it. I just think he'll make last-minute changes, and it's so rare.
You're 130 points ahead of him at the moment.
Yeah. Do you know what a phrase you never hear is? No, I'm not 130 points ahead of him. I'm 80 points ahead of him, aren't I?
Oh, no, sorry. I'm looking at me. Yeah, I was looking at my score.
There we go. Narcissistic personality disorder. do you know what you never hear from people who play fantasy football is, I made a last-minute change and it really paid off. No one has ever, from what I can tell, changed their captain at the last minute and gone, that was the best decision I ever made. It's always, I changed my captain and it was Salah who I dropped, and he scored a hat-trick. It's always that, and Brooker is the king of the last-minute change. It would be awful to be managed by Alex Brooker because he'd put up the team sheet and then he'd amend it. But then
there must be people out there. I mean, email us, hello@cpfpl.com, that do this last-minute change and it works. Like, just statistically, there must be. There's so many people play the game. Someone must have. Maybe we just don't know any of them.
I met someone at a four-year-old's birthday party. Did I tell you about this? Who last year had been in the running. He'd been about 200th.
Oh, my God.
Did you tap them up for tips? This will be a really revealing moment as to whether you're really like, yeah, I'm trying to be sort of controlled and sort of be in it, but not in it. When he told you that, were you like, tell me everything?
I wasn't like, tell me everything, because I don't want to be told that everything I'm doing is wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Certainly not when you're trying to find the vol-au-vents and like the sausages. chill out, mate.
The thing I remember most from my conversation with him, he basically spoke, because my pomp was when I was in my early 20s fantasy football league rise, the mid-2000s. And he spoke to me like I was, you know when Joe Kinnear came back to Newcastle and football had moved on?
Yeah.
Like, and he spoke to me like, I'd come back and I was still using the old methods. He said, it's now a squad game.
Ooh.
It's not about just having three of the cheapest players on your bench and loading your team.
Okay.
That's very interesting because I've been told the exact opposite.
Spend your money.
I think Richard Osman in our first or second episodes was get your 11 out and then do whatever you have to do on your bench.
Yeah, Richard Osman, a.k.a. Bob Paisley. Keep up, mate. He's from the past.
So the kids are building a squad, are they? So they're
this
literally...
is what this guy told me.
Right.
If you want to compete at the highest level, that's what you've got to do these days.
But you can't do that, can you? Especially how this season is going. We all know the players are doing well and they're expensive. If you want Trent Alexander-Arnold, which you have to keep up, if you want Salah, which you have to keep up, if you want Cancelo, which you have to keep up, that's going to set you back so much of your budget that you can't have a good squad because you're going to have to sign a few crap cheap players.
Well, I've got his number from the nursery WhatsApp group if you want me to
put you in touch with him. Well, I'll just rock up at the next party. I'll just until I get thrown out. Yeah. Is that guy who keeps just banging on about squad value? Which kid has he got? Oh, he hasn't got one. Right, we need to deal with this. How old's this guy? What does he look like? What's he do for a living? What's his name? Where does he live?
Well, he's moved away now, actually. So
yeah,
I
bet he has.
As a result of that conversation.
Do you know what? He was back for one party only. like, because his kid was...
Swan's in.
How good is this guy at parties?
No, he's back because his kid was his best friends with this other kid. So it was like a return. And now I wonder whether it was all just an illusion in my mind. Like, kind of.
His dad sounds so enigmatic. Swan's back into everyone's life. Did you hear Phil was back? Oh, no. I knew I should have gone to that party. If word gets round that one of the dads at the party is 200th in FPL, he must have an awful time. He must just want to, he must just be like turning up and wanting to talk about something else. And all he gets is...
I can tell you now, he wasn't wanting to talk about something else.
Sounds mysterious, this guy.
It was an interesting conversation, but I haven't taken any of it on because I didn't really trust. What I really needed to do was see his team. Do you know what I mean?
God, can I tell you now on behalf of how many of our listeners, what you've basically said is, oh, do you know who I sat next to on a plane? Alan Sugar. But I didn't feel like talking about business. So you've just told our listeners, you met someone who's 200th in FPL, but you didn't want to retain any of the information. There are people screaming now at their devices saying, give us something.
Realistically, though, if I did sit next to Alan Sugar on a plane, I wouldn't talk about business. I'd talk about the filming of The Apprentice.
I just why constantly are you flying EasyJet?
Well, wouldn't your first question wouldn't be, tell me more about the beginning of Amstrad. You'd say, so it's not a real boardroom, is it?
You film all those sequences where they leave at the beginning. So they've already filmed being fired. You make them look sad week one. Did you hear about my mate who put 50 quid in stocks and shares and now he's in Guantanamo Bay? We've got to offer you a prize, Josh, for if you beat us this week. But depressingly, you just sound really sort of at one with your life. You sound like you can sort of take football in its stride. You can enjoy it, but you don't really get
your tune
down. I'm not
at one with other bits of my life, but football I can deal with.
All right, well, what other aspects of your life can we help you with?
Oh, I don't like any of the rest of it.
Okay.
<I'm> just... Would you get your big bottle of whiskey?
Lovely.
Yeah. So you want me to say what I want?
Well, I've been racking my brain while you've been talking. I mean, short of tickets to see CBeebies Land, but it's closed at the moment, and I know that because I tried to go last week with my daughter. I do really like it, though, and I like the CBeebies Land Hotel.
I'll take something from the 90s, please, John.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Lovely. Okay. I've got, I don't think I can give it away. I don't think there would have to be some caveat, but I've got an original Euro 96 single duvet cover, but I think I love it too much to
I
get rid of it.
I wouldn't give that away. Just
but what I have got from the
night. I've just scored against Plymouth. Now this is a real test of my ability to deal with things.
This is a real, real test.
Anyway, let's carry on because I'm feeling fine.
What's your favourite 90s film?
My favourite 90s film? I don't know.
Sort of genre are you into?
Well, do you know what? Because it's
Sam Vokes playing for Wickham.
Oh, wow. Don't twist the knife, John.
I have no idea who's at Wickham. Goal machine.
F*** off. maybe I'm not who I claimed I was in the first place.
Got a lot of VHS knocking about. There's a chance I might have one of your favourite films on VHS.
Okay, have you got Up and Under starring Samantha Janus?
Along with everyone else in the country? No.
We might be able to get it. We can get it on DVD.
Up and Under with Samantha Janus?
Yeah. We'll get you that.
Gotta be VHS. Okay, that on DVD.
It's on Amazon Prime. So it'll arrive right. The following day.
Imagine being in the warehouse. Boxing that up, thinking, what's going on here then?
Who on earth?
It's on eBay. It's on eBay on VHS. Now I sort of want it.
Oh, do you? I saw it at the cinema.
Oh, my
Arthur's
God.
Only passions in life are his wife, Doreen, and rugby league. When he hears about the Cobblers and their corrupt manager, Arthur bets his life savings that he can train any team to beat them. He enlists gym owner Hazel Scott to save himself from a possible financial ruin and the wrath of his wife.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
That sounds like a different film to the one I'm looking at.
I'm going to buy that for Adam Hills for Christmas because he likes rugby league.
I'm in the tagline, Up and Under, six men, one woman, no balls.
Lovely.
Gary Olsen, Neil Morrissey, Samantha Janus, Tony Slattery and Griff Rhys-Jones. What a cast. How have I not seen this film?
I might get us three copies of this, actually. We can all watch it.
Yeah.
What, well, let's have a date night. I mean, a movie night. I mean, a lad's night. Oh. Yeah. If you absolutely thrash us, I'm also going to get you a Michael Owen-style revolving plinth to put it on.
Okay,
so you can display it
I'd
in your living
that.
Room.
I'd really enjoy that.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure. See you later.
Good luck, mate. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, pleasure. Bye.
Time now for Hit the Post.
This time is Hit the Post.
I'm going to read out some of the messages we've been getting. Someone, by the way, set up a Vinny van der Veet Twitter account.
Yeah.
At Vinny van der Veet.
It's not you.
No, it's not me.
You're not trying to break him out. You haven't got him an agent or anything.
I don't think he needs one, mate. I just think he's raw talent. I think the stars will guide him.
Yeah. Where is he? Why are you not doing it now?
Can I be honest?
Yes.
The eczema on my hand is terrible. And if I...
Curse of Vinny Vandervee.
If I stick my hand up there... Oh, John, I clawed at it after last week.
I'm sorry. I'm delighted that you're allergic to Vinny Vandervee, and so will our listeners be. Can I continue to be flabbergasted that whilst I cannot see you on the video, your commitment to this flea-ridden piece of crap is that you won't even do the voice when you've got a perfectly legitimate reason to do the voice without having the puppet on? Are you saying that your commitment is such that you won't do the voice because you can't wear the puppet?
When you say it like that, it sounds mad. To me, it sounds entirely natural. That if I'm not putting my hand up, Vinny Vandervee, I can see him now. I can't do his voice when I'm not.
But you could stick
him.
A rolling pin up there.
No.
Stick a rolling pin right up there. Spit on the end of a rolling pin. Shove it up there. Do the voice.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't. I genuinely couldn't do that. It just
is it both hands then? Are you not an ambidextrous puppeteer? Is the eczema in both hands?
It is on both hands. And right. And anyway, I can only Vinny really only exists on my right hand. It's only there.
And that's the only reason you've got sores and blisters on my hands. Let's be clear.
Oh man, they look like it's like zombie flesh. I mean, it's just so embarrassing. I had to get someone to open a bottle of water for me the other day.
Are you telling the listeners that there's a week off Vinny this week? You're going to read them in a normal voice?
Yes, I shall just read them as myself.
Oh, bliss. Absolute. There's an upside.
Cool. Anyway, this is from Adam. He says, hi, John, and to a lesser extent, Matt. Cheers, Adam. He says, just to let you know, I had my Twitter account suspended for saying that I wished for Vinny to be shot and for a gorilla to make love to the brain hole. Jesus. He said, apparently that violated their violence policy. Kill the puppet, Adam. That level of detail concerns me. If he just said, I'll kill Vinny, but that, oh, I don't know, that troubles
me. Do you
know
what upsets me? You and I have both received more offensive tweets than that from accounts that were not suspended. So Twitter is protecting this towel of pain and misery. Because I've reported tweets like that about me and nothing. Right. I've been told afterwards, we've looked at it and actually it's all right. And yet to do that about a fictional sock.
I know.
And he's had his Twitter account suspended.
Twitter, like Vinny.
Yeah, sadly so. Just proves that format needs to be brought into the 21st century.
You can tweet us as well, obviously, at ComediansFPL, as well as emailing us hello@cpfpl.com. Each week we do a star listener. Mm. Now, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, I said this was for anyone watching Cobra Cyber War, and we got zilch. Well, Liam Turvey's got in touch, said, well, I don't understand all the jargon in Cobra Cyber War. What is going on with our pronunciation today?
We're very tired, Teddy.
Is this the curse? Is this the curse is now like a literal viral infection?
Do you feel like, I asked you this earlier, I don't think you are cursed anymore. Someone is, because a force that powerful, you know, it's like when the sort of thing comes out of the painting in Ghostbusters, it goes somewhere. It's like Poltergeist, you know, somebody somewhere is cursed. If you think it's you, get in touch. If everything's gone bad, either in your FPL team or in your life, if you think you've inherited the curse of Matt Ford, then get in touch. hello@cpfpl.com.
You've got to let us know. Now, last week, John, you gave a shout out to anyone watching Oi Frog.
Reading.
But they could be watching someone else reading it. So, you know, that was kind of
fine. If they were six, I don't have a six-year-old listener. Can I just say, I'm watching someone read Oi Frog at the moment. It's me dad. I love the stuff about the curse, and I love how shit Ford is. Nighty night.
In fact, get in touch if you think you're our youngest listener. hello@cpfpl.com. We should try and find our oldest listener as well. hello@cpfpl.com.
Yeah, like that. Don't lie.
Yeah, don't lie. Don't lead us on.
Man. I'm 108 and I'll never miss an episode.
John had so many messages about
Oi
Frog.
Oh, my wonderful. God,
we've been deluged. Stephen B gets in touch, says, great to hear a shout out for the people who enjoy the Oi series, myself being one. That'd be a good one. Oi, Oi Frog, which was a slightly larrier version. Big as a favourite in our house.
Oi, cat, sit on that.
This is what Stephen says. I personally go with a slightly threatening cockney cat.
Oh, very interesting.
And a dopey Scottish dog who would probably still beat Ford at FPL.
Very nice. I'm interested that you go with a threatening cockney for the cat. because I always play the cat as a sort of sneering posh, will you stop talking about my bottom? That's how I do the cat.
Yeah,
but you've gone for a posh frog, and I don't think you can have a, you wouldn't get a posh frog, would you?
No, I think you're right to do...
I do the dog dopey.
Yeah, but you're right to do the cat posh. That's, cats are posh.
I'm really putting Elsie off cats week by week. She's learning, because the more of the stories we read, the cat is always the villain. So who are we going to dedicate the show to this week? Oi Frog smashed it.
Yes.
I've enjoyed those emails. I've enjoyed feeling like part of a community.
Here we go. This is for anyone whose favourite drink is water.
Oh, sod off.
What?
We don't have any of those sort listening.
I bet we got tons of them. Water is a great drink. It's my favourite drink.
I hate a lot it. Of it.
How can you hate water? That makes you sound so silly.
It's sound bland. Like a naughty...
It's so refreshing. I mean, right, okay, I'm going to go even
so further. Refreshing.
What do you drink during the day then when you're thirsty? What are you topping up?
I mean, literally nothing. It is ridiculous. I got to about 6 o'clock tonight and my eyes looked sunken and I thought, God, I'm exhausted. I'm so thirsty. And I realised I hadn't had a drink since I had a coffee this morning.
Okay, take a leaf out of my book, right? What you need to do. What you need to do, man. Let me tell you what you need to do, man. If you're at home during the day, just get yourself a pint glass first thing in the morning, give yourself a pint of water, and then just top it up throughout the day. If you're going out, get a bottle.
Oh, yeah, use a cup. That's a really good tip, mate. So when I'm at home, use a cup to drink out of.
What
do you think? I am a simpleton. You're supposed to drink 2 litres of water a day, aren't you?
Oh, mate, I drink about 10 pints of water every day. I love it. If my pee is ever not clear, I'm like, whoa.
Oh, mine comes out in shards.
Oh, God.
I have to pick it out. It's like picking my nose.
Oh, it's like gravy.
Yeah, it's horrible. Sometimes it doesn't even disperse in the water, like genuinely. Run into the water, but it's like a balsamic. Lava lamp.
Like balsamic in olive oil when you go to a restaurant. Chasing it around the bowl. Get here, you little...
Sometimes my pee is so strong, it's like bloody balsamic in the old olive oil.
What was your thing earlier this series that was a really right?
It was about vintage wine.
Perfectly about vintage wine.
So anyone whose favourite drink is water.
Yeah, hopefully that's lots of you.
Right. Is that how you end a podcast? Congratulations to everyone who's drinking water.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to sit here and talk all night with you, Matthew, about water and its many benefits. But sadly, that's all we've got time for. We've got our first midweek games in the Premier League next week. So we will be bringing you two podcasts. In the first released on Monday, we'll be catching up with Josh Widdicombe to see how he's got on this week. We will also be finding out whose calves you will be seeing 12 pictures of, depending on who's lost this week.
Very exciting. Remember to send us forfeit ideas or questions for any of our guests. Tweet us at ComediansFPL or email us hello@CPFPL. And don't forget to leave a review. This is really important. We know that so many of you like the show, but if you just leave a review, it helps other people find it. So whatever device you're listening on now, leave us a 5-star, say something nice. And, you know, it's the only league that I'm going to travel up. Is the podcast league, because I'm not going anywhere in the FPL league. So at least give me that. And good luck in game week 13. Bye.
Bye.